Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Narratries podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Maneater by Ryan Greene is a short, narrative-driven true crime account of Catherine Knight, the Australian woman convicted of murdering John Price in New South Wales in 2000. The book places Knight within a disturbing history of family dysfunction, intimate partner violence, obsession with knives, and escalating threats before the killing that made the case internationally notorious. Greene writes for readers who want a gripping reconstruction rather than a court-focused legal study, using a thriller-like pace to make the case accessible while still grounding the account in the broad facts of the crime and its aftermath. The central purpose is not only to describe a shocking murder involving mutilation and an attempted cannibalistic act, but also to examine how a pattern of coercion, rage, and institutional warning signs preceded the final violence. The result is a compact entry in modern true crime that emphasizes psychological menace, domestic danger, and the rarity of extreme female-perpetrated homicide. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a narrative true crime approach built around immersion rather than legal documentation. Ryan Greene structures Maneater less like a formal case file and more like a compressed crime narrative. This is important because the Catherine Knight case is already defined in public memory by a small number of horrific facts, so the book depends on pacing, atmosphere, and psychological buildup to create a fuller reading experience. Greene emphasizes scenes, tension, and emotional progression instead of lengthy courtroom transcripts, forensic appendices, or detailed source debates. That choice makes the book accessible to readers who prefer true crime that reads quickly and dramatically, but it also creates a limitation. Readers seeking a heavily footnoted reconstruction may find the treatment less satisfying because the emphasis falls on narrative momentum rather than evidentiary transparency. The value of this style is that it places the reader inside the escalation of danger surrounding Knight and John Price, showing how ordinary domestic spaces become threatening. The drawback is that novelistic reconstruction can blur the boundary between documented fact and interpretive framing. As a result, the book is best understood as a dramatic retelling of a known case rather than a definitive scholarly account. Secondly, Catherine Knight is presented through a pattern of early trauma, rage, and control. A major concern of the book is how Catherine Knight developed into someone capable of extreme violence. Greene does not treat the murder as an isolated eruption. He traces a broader pattern involving childhood instability, reported abuse, emotional volatility, and an intense need to dominate intimate relationships. This background matters because the case cannot be understood only through the final crime scene. Knight had a history of threatening behavior and violent outbursts, and the book uses that history to show how cruelty and control became recurring features of her adult life. The discussion of her work around slaughtering and butchery also contributes to the portrait, not as a simplistic cause of violence, but as part of the disturbing symbolic texture of the case. The book suggests that trauma may help explain some of the emotional damage surrounding Knight, yet it does not excuse the choices she made. This distinction is central to the true crime value of the narrative. The book asks readers to consider how personal history, environment, temperament, and repeated non-intervention can combine, while still holding the perpetrator responsible for calculated and sadistic acts. Thirdly, the case complicates assumptions about domestic violence and female offending. Maneater stands out because it focuses on a female perpetrator whose violence was directed largely toward male partners and family members. True crime about domestic violence often centers on women as victims, which reflects a large and serious social reality. But the Knight case forces attention to the less common situation in which a woman is the primary aggressor. Greene presents Knight as someone who used intimidation, physical attacks, emotional manipulation, and threats to exert control. This changes the way readers interpret warning signs, because danger in intimate relationships does not always fit familiar gender expectations. John Price had reportedly taken steps to protect himself before his death, including seeking legal protection, which gives the case a tragic sense of preventability. The book, therefore, functions as more than an account of an unusual killer. It becomes a study in how domestic terror can be minimized when it does not match standard assumptions. By foregrounding a woman who is violent, possessive, and escalating, the narrative encourages a more flexible understanding of risk. It also highlights the need to treat patterns of threats and assaults seriously regardless of the gender of the person making them. Fourthly, the murder of John Price is framed as symbolic violence rather than only physical brutality. The killing of John Price is the event that gives the book its grim notoriety. But Greene presents it as more than a sequence of violent acts. Knight stabbed Price, and the aftermath involved decapitation, skinning, and the preparation of body parts in a manner that suggested an intended act of cannibalistic humiliation. The book treats these details as evidence of symbolic domination. The violence was not merely lethal. It was organized around possession, degradation, and the destruction of the victim as a person. That distinction matters because it helps explain why the case remains so disturbing even within the true crime genre, where murder itself is common subject matter. The mutilation transformed the crime scene into a message of rage and control, especially given the domestic setting and the reported plan involving Price family members. Green uses the horror of the scene to show the culmination of prior threats and obsession. At the same time, the book must balance factual description with ethical restraint, since the crime is graphic enough to risk becoming sensational. Its strongest moments are those that connect the brutality to the longer pattern of coercive behavior, rather than presenting shock value in isolation. Lastly, the legal aftermath reinforces the rarity and severity of the Knight case. The punishment in the Catherine Knight case is central to the book because it marks the crime as exceptional in Australian criminal history. Knight became the first woman in Australia to receive a life sentence without parole, accompanied by a direction that she should never be released. Green uses this outcome to underline how the justice system interpreted the murder as unusually grave, not only because John Price was killed, but because of the deliberate mutilation and the apparent absence of remorse. The legal resolution also shapes the way readers understand the book. This is not a mystery in which guilt remains uncertain, and it is not primarily a procedural about finding the offender. Instead, the narrative focuses on how such a person reached the point of irreversible violence and why earlier warning signs failed to prevent the death. The continued fascination with Knight also raises uncomfortable questions about public attention to extreme female killers. Some readers are drawn by rarity, others by psychological abnormality, and others by the cannibalism association. The book stands at this intersection, using the sentence and public notoriety to show how the case exceeded ordinary categories of homicide. In conclusion, Maneater is best suited to readers of compact, intense true crime who are interested in infamous murder cases, female violent offenders, and the darker extremes of domestic abuse. It offers practical value by showing how repeated threats, coercive behavior, and prior violence can precede a lethal outcome, even when the aggressor does not match common expectations about gender and victimhood. Intellectually, it encourages reflection on the relationship between trauma, personality, opportunity, and accountability without reducing the crime to a single cause. The book also helps readers understand why the Catherine Knight case became so notorious in Australia and beyond, particularly because the violence after death gave the murder a symbolic and almost ritualized character. Compared with more academic or court-centered true crime works, its distinguishing feature is readability. Green favors a dramatic, scene-based style that can be consumed quickly and that emphasizes emotional immediacy over documentary density. That makes the book effective for readers who want a gripping overview, but less ideal for those seeking extensive citations, legal analysis, or new investigative revelations. Its place in the genre is therefore clear. It is a vivid narrative introduction to one of the most disturbing female-perpetrated murder cases in modern true crime. If you would like to support Ryan Green, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.